tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Today, we're continuing our series entitled Lyrically Speaking. This is part three of the series, and the song that we featured today is from the hit movie Frozen 2. The song is titled Into the Unknown. Now, there are a few types of people when it comes to this song. There are those who have not heard this song and have not experienced it, probably because you haven't seen Frozen 2. There are those who have heard it, but it didn't really stand out. It didn't really make a difference, so you're not really familiar with it, but you've seen the movie. And then there are those who this song, most likely because you have little kids, it has been the anthem of 2020. This song has been on repeat for you. You know this song. You are familiar with this song. This song was actually not our first pick for this series. We had another song, but because of the social isolation, we didn't feel like we could pull it off. And so a couple weeks ago, our programming team brainstormed, and this song was suggested. Now, our programming team consists of four people. It's myself, our executive pastor, Scott Rutter, our kids and student pastor, Eric Ashley, and our director of worship and production, Jason Cummington. And I'll just let you know, you guys can guess in the comments who you think each person was. One of us had never heard the song before. One of us had heard the song but was not familiar with it. One of us had heard the song and was sick of it, like did not want to do this song in the series because it heard this song so often. And then the other one of us suggested the song. And so in the comments, let us know which one of us you think was. I'll just give you a hint. I'm the one that was sick of the song. This song has been on repeat in our van over and over again. I've heard it so often. I've gone to sleep with this song stuck in my head. I was done with it, but I submitted to the votes of the other guys because this song really has a lot to do with the season that our whole country is in currently. I want to look at some of the lyrics. They'll come up on the screen. You can follow along. The lyrics, the second verse of the song says, "What do you want? Because you've been keeping me awake." Can you relate to that? When you're hearing a voice or going into a season of the unknown, or when you don't have all the answers, it's like you can't sleep. The song says, "What do you want? Because you've been keeping me awake. Are you here to distract me so I make a big mistake? Or are you someone out there who's a little bit like me, who knows deep down I'm not where I'm meant to be? Every day's a little harder and I feel your power grow. Don't you know there's a part of me that longs to go into the unknown, into the unknown, into the unknown. Oh, oh, whoa." Gotta hit the whoa. Hit the woe on them. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a fat clue if this song was written by a Christian. I don't know if it was written by someone who has faith or not. But as a Christian, I can't help but hear a lot about faith in this song. That there are seasons of unknown. And there's, on the one hand, it's like, I know I'm supposed to walk towards the unknown. I know I'm supposed to take steps in that direction. But there's another sense, because it's unknown, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't want to take a step towards that. I can relate to this song a lot. In fact, so much of our faith in God is walking in the unknown. In my experience, when it comes to making a decision for God, rarely does God give us clear directions as to which path to take. Rarely does God say, this is exactly what you need to do. Faith in walking with God is constantly walking in the unknown. When our church first started, we started on Easter Sunday, and from April, Easter Sunday, through the beginning of the summer, we averaged about 115 people, and we were a Sunday night only church. And something crazy happened in the summer. When the summer comes, our attendance jumped, and we actually went to 130 or 140, and that doesn't happen in the church world. In the church world, pastors always embrace for the summer because giving in attendance tends to dip during the summer season. But here in our first year, we saw the attendance go up, and I was like, man, God, you're up to something. This is crazy. This is like a miracle. Like, what in the world's going on? Well, the fall comes, and our attendance drops back down to 115 people. On top of that, around this time, a couple families came to me and they said the exact same thing. They said that they absolutely love the church, they love the vision of the church, and they love my preaching, but they couldn't hang because Sunday nights were too tough for them as a family. And that was difficult for me because as a church planner, I'm trying to collect people and gain people and find people to help me launch this church, to make sure that we don't fail. And you need people for that to happen. And so for people to leave, I was like, man, God, what is going on here? And it led me to go back to my bedroom and I fell on my knees. And in desperation, I cried out to God. I said, God, this thing, I feel like it's failing. I don't know how to lead through this. I'm not equipped to do it. What do you want me to do? You got to help me, God. What do you want me to do? And in that moment of desperation, I felt like God said to my soul that I needed to pray for a free church building. Now, that's not an answer to prayer. That's not a direct path of, thus saith the Lord, I will give you a free church building. It's just this little whisper inside, this little voice inside that said, you need to pray for a free church building. So that's what I did. I started praying, and as the voice got a little bit stronger, I started asking our church to pray. I had no guarantee that we were going to be given a free church building. I had hope. I believed it. But all I had was this little whisper that was leading me to walk into the unknown. And about a year and a half later, I got a text from a pastor in our area that said, how would you like a free church building on 8 acres of land? It was a miracle that we cannot explain away. It was a miracle of biblical proportion. It is an amazing miracle. But the miracle started in the season of the unknown. Right now, currently in our country, we are going through a season of the unknown. There's so many things that we don't know. I don't know when we're going to be able to come back together. As a leader and pastor, our staff, we're wrestling with, we don't know when church is going to be open again. We have no idea. We don't know, even when we do get to come back together, we don't know what it will look like. We don't know what the restrictions will be. We have no idea. It is very difficult to plan long term when you don't know what the future holds. You may be feeling that. Maybe you have some uncertainty with the job that you're holding, or maybe you have uncertainty even about your family, or you're uncertain about our government, or you're uncertain about this disease. There's so much uncertainty. And if right now you feel some anxiety, if you feel some worry, if you just feel some like, I don't know what's going on, if you feel like you are walking in a season of uncertainty, then this sermon is for you. Because the scriptures actually talk a lot about walking through uncertainty, and they talk a lot about having faith and what faith actually looks like. And I want to show you that in our scripture today. Our theme verse is Hebrews 11, 1 through 2, and it's going to come up on the screen. And I'm going to ask, wherever you're watching this, that you just read this out loud. And when we get to the reference, we like to have a little bit of fun at Next Level. And the reference is 11, 1 through 2. And so where we see those two dots, we're going to just have a little bit of fun and put our fists into it and say, dot, dot. I want to invite you to do that with me. Would you read it with me nice and loud? It says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Hebrews 11, dot, dot, 1 through 2. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and we just ask that you would help build our faith, that you would speak to us clearly, that even in a service where we can't meet physically, God, that you would be physically present with us, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to our minds, that you would give us instructions. And God, here's the deal. I know that whenever you speak, we become afraid. So would you give us the courage to walk with you and obey you, no matter how scared we are? And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I want to give you a little bit of context in what we're diving into today. The scripture that we're reading comes from the letter that we call Hebrews. Now, we don't have a lot of information about Hebrews because Hebrews is the only letter in the whole New Testament that we don't know who wrote it. We don't know if it was a man or a woman. We don't know who the author is. There's lots of arguments about who the author of Hebrews is. We don't know. What we do know is that whoever wrote it was a Christian who had a very extensive Jewish background. They were very familiar with the Jewish faith. And what we also know about the letter that we call Hebrews is that the letter was written to people who were Christians but were struggling with their faith. They were going through some uncertainty. They were going through a difficult season. And the author of Hebrews is encouraging and challenging them and encouraging them to know this is what you're supposed to do if you follow Jesus in seasons of uncertainty. So in Hebrews 10:36, it's where we're going to start off today. The author of Hebrews says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. So according to the author of Hebrews, what we are supposed to do in seasons of uncertainty, if we're people of faith, if we're people who believe in God, what we do during uncertain times is persevere. Now, if you're a planner, if you're a worrier, if you're a perfectionist, then you're probably thinking, all right, this verse isn't going to work for me. This just doesn't. I need something better. I need something more concrete. Persevere doesn't sound like a plan. And the reason that we struggle so much and the reason that we don't like uncertainty is that uncertainty is a result of unforeseen change. Okay, uncertainty is a result of unforeseen change. It is difficult for the type A personalities. It's difficult for the Enneagram ones. It's difficult for perfectionists. It's difficult for planners to deal with uncertainty because uncertainty is a result of unforeseen change. We cannot plan for uncertainty. We can't control uncertainty. And if there's anything we can be certain of, it's that this life will provide uncertainty. And what is God saying to those who struggle with control, those who really struggle with uncertainty? What God is saying is that you are called, as a Christian, you are called to persevere. Why? Because God's delays are not God's denials. The season of uncertainty does not mean that God isn't with you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't hear you. It doesn't mean that God's not going to answer your prayer. And in this difficult season, as tough as it is, as uncertain as it is, the scriptures are calling and challenging us to persevere. So I want you to hold on to that, and let's look at what the author of Hebrews says next. In Hebrews 10, 37 through 38, "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." So the author of Hebrews is quoting the Old Testament, specifically the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, and specifically Habakkuk 2, 3 through 4. Now, if you're not familiar with this section of the Old Testament, Habakkuk was an Old Testament prophet. He was someone who spoke to God, and he heard God speak back. And Habakkuk starts with him having an issue with God. He is wrestling with God. Specifically, he is looking around, and he's seeing that there are a lot of evil, a lot of bad things that are happening in his world, and he's wrestling with the fact that how can so much bad happen if we truly serve a God that is good? Can you relate to that? Is that something that you've ever asked yourself or wrestled with? And Habakkuk says to God, like, I don't understand. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand how you can be good and still allow all these difficult things to happen. And God's answer back to him is that my righteous will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. God promises that an answer is coming. God promises him that he's going to understand this eventually. But in this season, he's got to persevere. In this season, he's got to live by faith. Now, we know from history that Habakkuk did see the answer to his prayer. It just didn't come for 66 years. 66 years, he had to wait, he had to persevere, he had to endure, he had to have faith for 66 years. So the author of Hebrews quotes Habakkuk and what God says to him, and then casts some vision to us. Look at what he says next in Hebrews 10:39. It says, "But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved." Man, this fires me up. I absolutely love this because the author of Hebrews is speaking to people who are struggling with faith. It's speaking to people who are struggling with uncertainty. But the author of Hebrews is casting some vision. The author of Hebrews is speaking into their potential. The author of Hebrews is saying, if you follow Jesus, you are not a person who shrinks back. That's your identity. If you're a person who follows Jesus, your identity is someone who says, I have faith even when I'm uncertain. That's who you are. That's who you are called to be. I appreciate the quote from John Ortberg. He's a pastor and author. He says, "Underneath the surface of the skeptic is fear. Fear of being disappointed. You know, a reason that we often don't believe God or our faith is challenged is because we have a fear, and that fear is being disappointed. What if I pray and God doesn't answer my prayer? What if I take a faith step and I do something for God and it doesn't come through the way that I hope it does? What if I have an expectation and God doesn't meet that expectation? I don't know if my faith can handle it. But the author of Hebrews is saying, listen, what separates a Christian, a follower of God, from a non-Christian is that in times of uncertainty, we don't shrink back. We don't stop believing. We don't stop praying. We push forward, even when we're uncertain. Listen, following Jesus does not mean that you're never going to have a bad day. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through difficult seasons. It does not mean that you're not going to have disappointment. Following Jesus means that you have faith that God is real and He can deliver you. Following Jesus means that even in matters of uncertainty, I can trust God. Even though I can't see God, I can trust God. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a Christian, in the face of difficult circumstances, will have faith, and that faith will cause a Christian not to shrink back. Now, from here, the author defines what faith in God means. And this is incredibly important for us, especially those who would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. Let's see what the author of Hebrews says. Hebrews 11, 1 through 2. This is our theme verse for the day. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. So this is our theme verse, and this would be a great verse for you to memorize. This would be a great verse for you to write out and to think about during this season of uncertainty. The author of Hebrews says, faith equals confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, in order to understand this definition, we need to dig into the wording that the author of Hebrews uses. When I hear the word confidence, I hear it through an American lens, but the author of Hebrews was writing it through an ancient lens, more through a Jewish lens. And the word that the author of Hebrews uses is the Greek word hypostasis. Would you hear me? Just to make sure you're awake, make sure you're paying attention. Would you say the word hypostasis with me on the count of three? One, two, three. Hypostasis. Okay, hypostasis can be translated to mean substance, assurance, firmness, steadiness, or a pledge. So a more Jewish understanding of the word confidence is that confidence is actually birthed out of faith. Faith is born from action and experience more than blind trust of what is unknown. This is incredibly important if you are a person of faith. Let me say that again. Faith is born from action and experience more than a blind trust of what is unknown. Being a person of faith is not just this blind faith of, oh, I just believe. I have no evidence. I have no proof. I just believe. What the author of Hebrews is saying is that you believe because you've taken steps of action. You've walked with God and you've seen how God has delivered you. You've seen how God has worked in your life. You've seen how God has provided, and that builds your confidence. You don't have confidence because God has given you something. You have confidence because you took a step of faith and then God provided. Often what we want is for God to provide and then build our faith. What we want is, God, give me the miracle, fix the problem, and then I'll have confidence in you. Give me something now and then I'll believe. But That's not how faith in God works. How faith in God works is that we take a step into the unknown. And as we watch how God delivers and God provides, it then gives us the confidence to build our faith. The author of Hebrews is making this point because the audience that the author is writing to is struggling. And some of them are wanting to shrink back. That is, they're wanting to give up on their faith. They're saying, we maybe need to get rid of this Christianity. We maybe need to go the opposite way. We're being persecuted for following Jesus. We're having struggles for following Jesus. What if we go back to our old life? And the author of Hebrews says, listen, we don't shrink back. When life gets difficult, we don't go back to our old way of living. We don't go back to not having Jesus. We don't go back that way. That's not faith. Faith is walking towards Jesus in the midst of uncertainty and watching what He does. And that actually takes us to our big idea for today. If you're taking notes, which I hope you are, I encourage you to write this down. The big idea is, uncertainty does not change who you are. It reveals who you are. Uncertainty does not change who you are. It reveals who you are. Are you the type of person that when uncertainty happens, you lean into your faith? Or are you the type of person that when uncertainty happens, you shrink back? Let me illustrate it for you like this. All right, so I've asked our pastor to Tots and Kids, Eric Ashley, to come and help me with the illustration. Eric, come on over and want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. When you look at this bottle, what do you say this is?
Hershey syrup.
Hershey's syrup. This is Hershey syrup. Now, we can say with a great degree of confidence by looking at this bottle that it is Hershey syrup. That is, it is liquid gold. It is the nectar of the gods. This is amazing stuff. And my wife knows that if I come home and I make a tall glass of chocolate milk, that's milk with some of this poured into it, she knows that I've had a stressful day. This in my family is what we call a stiff drink. This is my drink of choice when I'm stressed. I love, absolutely love chocolate milk. And we can know with some certainty that this is the syrup, right? But we can't know for sure until we squeeze it out. And so, Eric, would you help me just make sure they can see this? When I squeeze this out, what color is chocolate syrup supposed to be?
Like brownish.
Now, Eric, would you help me out and take a taste of this to tell us what it actually is? It's not brown, so what is it?
Well,
hopefully it's not fermented chocolate syrup.
How much of this do I have to eat?
Just a spoonful, just a little bit. Okay, what is it?
Okay, it's ranch dressing.
Ranch dressing.
But I have to admit,
yeah,
I thought I was going to get to eat chocolate syrup, so it's a little bit disappointing.
A little disappointing. That's right. Yeah. So would you guys help me thank Eric, Pastor Eric, for being here? Put some love in the comments. Show some hearts towards him. Thank you so much, Eric, for being here. So uncertainty doesn't change who you are. It reveals who you are. And you may look at someone and say, yeah, that person, they're bold in their faith. Yeah, that person loves Jesus. Yeah, that person doesn't doubt. But show me a person when they're squeezed, because it's not until we're squeezed that you see what's really inside. And when you get squeezed in a season of uncertainty, what does it reveal about you? Does it reveal that you're a person of faith that will not shrink back? Or does it reveal, you know what, I got something different inside than what I say. I say I'm a person of faith. I say I believe in God. But when life gets tough, when life gets uncertain, I don't run to God, I run away from God. That's what was going on to the people that the author of Hebrews was writing. Instead of running to Jesus and strengthening their faith in a season of uncertainty, they were wanting to get rid of their faith. I love the quote by John Finley. He said, maturity is the capacity to endure uncertainty. Maturity is the capacity to endure uncertainty. How do you tell if you are mature in your faith? It's because in a season of uncertainty, you have some capacity to endure it. During a difficult season, you can say, yeah, this stinks. I don't like this. I don't enjoy this. But I have confidence in knowing that God is still good and God still loves me, even in this difficult season. Look what the author of Hebrews says next about faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith, right? Without this confidence that God is who he says he is, without taking steps of action, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists and that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah built an ark, even though he had never seen it rain. By faith, Moses delivered people, even though he had a stutter and didn't think he was worthy enough to lead people out of slavery from Egypt. By faith, Abraham had a son, even when he was old as dirt and wasn't able to have kids. By faith, David slayed a giant with a slingshot because he believed God was going to deliver him. By faith, it is a step in the right direction. It is a step into the unknown. And the reward of faith is that we experience God. He rewards those who seek after him. As long as you play it safe, you will always rely on yourself, and you will never experience the reward of earnestly seeking God. As long as we play it safe, as long as we shrink back, as long as we go back to what's comfortable, the reward of faith is that we get to experience God. But we don't experience God when we just say, God, you just got to deliver. You got to bring something to me. We experience God in steps of faith. into the unknown. I love what Pastor Mike Todd says. If you're not familiar with Pastor Mike Todd, he is absolutely blowing up on the scene. He currently has the number one book in the world. He is a pastor, and he's got America's attention. And Pastor Mike Todd said that the thing I always tell people is that in this walk with Christ, I don't think you're ever going to be 100% sure. So for me in prayer, in talking to counsel, if I'm 51% sure, I know I'm going forward. 51% sure, that's faith. I'm not sure that you'll ever be 100% sure of anything. But faith is confidence that, God, I got the green light. I've sought your scriptures. I've asked for wise counsel. I still don't know what to do, but now I'm going to walk into the unknown because I'm 51% sure. I absolutely love this. Here's the truth. Some of you watching this need help in your marriage, and the reason you're not going to see a counselor is because you're not 100% sure the counseling will work. But what about 51%? Would you take a step in that faith direction? Some of you watching struggle with what God says about finances and what God says about honoring him by giving finances, giving a tithe, the 10%, giving a percentage of what you earn back to him through the local church. Some of you struggle with that because you say, I'm not 100% sure that God will bless this. I'm not 100% sure I can trust God with my money. I get that. But could you be 51% sure? Could you be 51% sure that if you trust God, he's going to do what he promised he's going to do? You see, faith is not this blind trust that I've never experienced anything and I'm just naive. Faith is trusting because I've already taken steps in the right direction. So faith, 51%, walking towards God, even in seasons of uncertainty. So every year, at the end of the year, in December, I get on my knees and I pray and I ask God, what are some goals that you have for Next Level Church? I'm not smart enough to come up with these goals. If I did come up with goals, they'd be the wrong goals. So would you lead me? And I spend some time praying and seeking God, and I come out of that with what I feel like I'm pretty confident of what the goals are for our church. Well, going into 2020, I announced these goals to our church, and the top goal that I felt the most confident about was that going into this new building that we're in the process of building. Now, we haven't broken ground yet. There's still a lot of behind the scenes things that are happening, but we are building a new church building. And what I felt like God was leading us to do is to pay for this building before we move into it. That is to have no debt moving into this building. The cost of it is going to be around $1.6 million. And with faith, we are believing that we can raise the money that God will provide. He'll bring the right people. He'll challenge the right people. He'll inspire and provide the right people with finances to be able to pay for this building so that we can go into it debt-free. Now, I heard that and felt like that was the goal, the vision from God in December. That was before I knew that the government was going to tell us that we couldn't physically meet for weeks. That was before I knew anything about COVID-19. That was before I knew anything what this year was going to be. And let me just tell you, I was already scared of the goal. I was already scared to say this to our church because that takes some faith. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm 51% sure. I might be 50.5% sure. I don't even know if I'm quite 51%. I'm pretty sure, but I don't know for sure. I don't have like a thus saith the Lord, this is 100% going to happen. I was scared. I was sweating, nervous, telling our church. But now that we haven't been able to meet for weeks, and I don't even know when we are going to come back physically, can I just tell you, it's rocked me a little bit. In fact, I had a different message written for today. I woke up at 4 a.m. and I just did some wrestling with God. And I said, God, I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know how to lead through this. I don't know. Like, we can't accomplish these goals that you've set currently in this season. And now you've cut out weeks of physically meeting. Like, I don't know. I have no idea what you're going to do. And I said, God, I need you to lead me. And I'll tell you what I felt like God whispered to me at 4 a.m. this morning was, get ready. That's not a promise. That's not a clear instruction. I just heard, get ready. Get ready for what? I don't know. Like, what are you telling me? Get ready for? Get ready because you're going to provide for this goal. Get ready because you're going to do something immeasurably more than I could ask or imagine. Get ready for, what am I even getting ready for? I don't know. But here's what I do know. Because God has provided in the past, when I took steps of faith to obey him, he delivered the miracle. I'm going to trust by taking steps of faith this time. And I don't know what the future holds, but I do know that the presence of God is felt when I take steps of faith into the unknown. And one of our core values at Next Level Church is that we take next steps. And there is always a next step for you to take. And so my question for you is, if you're feeling like you're in a season of uncertainty, would you ask God what your next step is? If you don't know what to do, would you just pray and say, God, what would you lead me to do? Would you take a step of faith towards God in the midst of uncertainty? I love what Pastor Erwin McManus says. He says, the future is uncertain, but we need to move toward it with confidence. There's a future to be created, a humanity to be liberated. We need to stop wasting our time and stop being afraid of what we cannot see and do not know. We need to move forward full of force because of what we do know. What do we know? We know that we have a God who died, but then he rose again. We have a God who creates beauty from ashes. We have a God, when people say it's the end of the story, he writes another chapter. We have a God who delivers. We are people of faith. So the question is, what is your next step? And that takes us to today's win. Today's win is, in times of uncertainty, ask God, what's my next step? And then listen. If you're like the song from Frozen and you can't sleep at night because you're uncertain, because you're worried, would you go to God in prayer and would you listen? Would you just say, God, I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to be a person that shrinks back. I'm going to walk forward. So what is my next step? Will you pray with me? God, we come before you and there's just so much uncertainty. There's so much that we don't know. But you've called us to be people of faith. So we ask that you would inspire us today to take steps in your direction. And I'm asking right now for everyone that's watching, God, I'm asking that you would give them a word, a specific step, a specific action, that you would give them something clear that they are to walk towards, even if they can't see the destination, that you would tell them what step to take. And God, when we cannot see the path, would you give us the courage to walk into the unknown, trusting that you are good and that you love us and that you'll provide. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We want to see you back next week as we conclude our series, Lyrically Speaking. Have a great week.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net or find us on Facebook or Twitter.